Tonight I want to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 26. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 26.
John, chapter 17, verse 26 reads this way. It says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together and being assembled here as your body of believers, and in knowing, Lord, that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your will that you do desire to build our lives and our faith, and Lord, allow us to grow in your grace, and that we would be found faithful servants, Lord, by your mercy and power. And so, Lord, guide us tonight to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And, Lord, that you might ultimately be honored and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you, to one another, Lord, and empowered by your great grace. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, the title of the message is that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, or simply put, how to be happy in Jesus. Amen? How to be happy in Jesus. And so tonight, as we consider this portion of Scripture here, we find it's the Lord's intercessory prayer on the behalf of all believers here. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. Now, there have been different positions, obviously, throughout the history of the Bible here, and of course our history. The Lord was specifically speaking to the apostles, and we know that we don't have any more apostles. That the last apostle was the apostle Paul, and he was the last one. But he does speak to you and I as believers and followers of, and disciples as well, learners after the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so saying that, I want to back you up here to verse 20 just for a moment before we get into the message tonight. Look at verse 20, and it says this. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." So there's a lot in those two verses right there. But he's saying not only to these, but those that are also going to believe on their word, which was the word of the apostles, and that would be you and I throughout history. So that's important here to be reminded of. The Lord is not just speaking to them, but he's speaking to us. Isn't that good? God wants to speak to us, and God wants to work through us for his honor and glory and our blessing. That's God's plan. So we're going to back up to verse 1, and I want to give you the three points that we're going to look at tonight. We're going to see the words that Jesus spoke to the Father defining eternal life. We're going to see this here. The words that Jesus gave to his disciples for all time. And then lastly, we'll consider the commission and sanctification that Jesus gave to his disciples. And again, this is really what brings the joy of the Lord into the life of the believer. You know, today we live in a day and age where we are inundated with the next latest and greatest item that's going to make our lives just so much better, so much easier. They said, oh, when we enter the computer age, we'll have less work to do and everything's going to just go just splendid, right? Well, my goodness, how many times have you had a computer go down or this have to be fixed or that has to be fixed? And then they come out with all these. And now listen, there are some good technological advances. There are some good medical advances. These things are taking place. But I don't know that life is getting any easier. I think we're getting more inundated with all kinds of things that may even be more of a distraction than a help. But see, the world is promising one thing that it can't deliver, and that is peace, fulfillment, and contentment that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I'm going to ask you just to set aside for a moment all the things that the world is trying to offer us, and let's focus on what God has promised us that we know will come to pass as long as you and I believe by faith, right? That's what it takes to unlock the door of God's promises. It just takes our faith in what God has said to be true and applicable to our lives in the day and age in which we live today. So let me back you up here to verse 1, and let's consider the words that Jesus spoke to the Father defining eternal life. And this is, of course, really the glorification of the Son of God. Look at verse 1. He says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come." He's getting ready to go to the cross. "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Let's narrow in on the focal point of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his relationship with the Father that bled over into the lives of the disciples. Let me repeat that. The Lord had a relationship with his Father that bled over into his relationship with his disciples. That's the same way it works today. God wants you and I to have a relationship with him in such a way that it bleeds over into the lives of our family, into the lives of our church family, and into the lives of those that we come in contact with, that the glory of God may be seen. So, verse 2, he says, "As thou hast given him power," speaking of the Son there, "over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." So this is all in the plan of God. He's saying, here's what God is saying. Here's what God the Son is saying to God the Father. He's saying, "I want you to fulfill everything you've promised to do in my life." Right? He submitted himself. We don't completely understand that God left eternity other than what we do understand. And he became a man. And he did something he had never done before. He humbled himself. He came out of majesty and splendor and royalty to come down and be our sacrifice. And in doing that, he never broke the relationship that he had with his Father. He never stopped being the Son of God. He's still God incarnate, and we thank the Lord for that. But he is wanting you and I to understand this relationship in such a way that we will also enjoy this oneness with the Father and with the Son that he had. So he says this, "As thou hast given," verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Notice this, "And this is life eternal." What is it? "That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is eternal life. Not just having a testimony of salvation, but that we might intimately know God the Father and God the Son in such a powerful way. And we cannot exclude the Holy Spirit that God gave to you and I that will open up all the Word of God and all the truths that would give us this understanding. So the Lord is praying. He's making this prayer on behalf of his disciples and us also, of what he wants to give you and I, what he wants you and I to have in our salvation, also in our relationship with the Lord. Verse 4, he says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So the Lord is wanting us to enter into this relationship with him, and he is also wanting us to have this kind of a testimony also. Let me ask you this question. When Paul said he had finished his race, did he do it successfully or did he fail in running the race that he was talking about? He was successful, wasn't he? And he said, "I know henceforth there is a crown laid up for me, but not for me only," and I'm paraphrasing here, "but for all them that love the Lord." There's also a crown to be won by the mercy and grace of God. So here's what we have to do. Listen, we have to believe, we don't have to, but we have the opportunity to believe that God wants to do that in our lives. And we'll be able to see the difference that God makes. And that's, so he doesn't want us to live a mediocre life. He doesn't want us to live a failed life as a believer. He wants us to live a growing life in the grace of God. Is that not the truth? God wants us to grow in his grace. So as we consider this, here's the question. Do we believe that God can do this in our life? And if we do believe that, are we pursuing it in such a way that we're asking God to do that in our lives? And it can't just be a once a year thing. I'm convinced it's part of also presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice before the Lord, and also asking him to crucify the flesh in our lives, and also to sanctify our lives for his honor and glory. I think it's a good thing to bring that before the Lord every day and say, "Lord, guide me into your way that I might draw nearer to you." So He says, this is the testimony that he has. Verse 4 again, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished a work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, the Lord wants us to participate, fathom this thought just for a moment, the glory of God in us because of salvation. Now, we are not in the position of God, obviously, and that's not what I'm saying. And we are not even in the position of a called apostle, but we are believers and disciples and born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, where he's promised a changed life. So all we are asking God to do is to fulfill what he has promised as believers. And what better way to enter into the year 2026 than to draw nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ in 2025, and so much the more in 2026. So again, verse 5, he says this, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. I think the Lord wants to glorify himself in our lives with himself. You and I can't glorify the Lord in our own power, but God can glorify himself in our lives with his own self. Isn't that something? And that's his plan. So, notice, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, that's an important statement. You hear what the Lord is saying? They have kept the word of God. He just said that about his disciples, didn't he? Yes. Did you notice that? Now listen, and let's put a good balance on this. Did the disciples ever, during the Lord's earthly ministry, did they ever fail the Lord? Yes, yes they did. But here's the thing. They were pursuing the mercy and grace of God still. They were learning. You know, God knows that you and I are learning. But here's the thing, they wanted to obey the Lord. Lord, I don't want to lean to my own understanding. And yet, we battle with leaning to our own understanding, don't we? But the Lord knows that we battle that. But here's the question, do we ultimately want to understand what God is trying to communicate to us as his people that we might walk in his way? Do we want to do that? And if we do want to do that, then God is saying, I will show you the way. And not that we won't stumble and not that we won't fall, but God will pick us back up again that we might walk in his way. Let's not settle for this idea. Well, I just can't do it. Or this is as far as I can go. What's the problem with those two statements? I just can't do it. This is as far as I can go. Well, who are we looking to when we say that? We're looking to ourselves. Who should we be looking to? The Lord, amen? The Lord is who we should be looking to. So let's not settle for failure because of our weakness. Let's settle for the glory of God that he has given to us through salvation by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as well. So he says this, verse 7, he says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of who? Of thee. Did you see that? God is wanting us to follow him. Fathom this thought. Let's put 6 and 7 together. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That is God's work in our lives. He's going to reveal his will and his work and the glory of the Father. Thine they were, he says in verse 6, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Listen, tonight, the fact that you are here, you are seeking to keep the word of the Lord. That's why we're here tonight, and that's why you come every time the church doors are open. You are wanting to grow in the grace of God, or at least I believe that's the motive here behind seeking the Lord, is that we might learn more about the Lord. Every time we seek to open the Word of God or bow before the Lord in prayer, we are wanting to draw near to a holy and righteous God that has saved our souls. Now listen, verse 7, he says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So all the things that we will receive for the glory of God, who do they belong to? They belong to God. They belong to the Lord. Now let's look here at the words that Jesus gave to his disciples for all time. Verse 8 says this, "For I have given unto them," believers, "the words which thou gavest me," and specifically we'll consider the apostles here, but he says, "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Tonight, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God the Father sent God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to us? Do you believe that? So we are right in line with what God, the work of God that he is doing. We are in step in heart and in mind, and also physically, as we call upon the Lord, as we open up the Word of God, and as we seek him, we are in step with the Lord. Isn't that good? God is the one, listen, God is the one that is bringing us to this place. So he says this in saying that. He says, verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." So he's praying for the apostles specifically, and we saw there in verses 20 and 21 that he's also in step for those and wanting those that shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wanting this for their lives also. So he says, verse 10, "And all," listen to this, "and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." Isn't that something? God is glorified in your life and mine. Isn't that the pursuit of the Lord for our lives? That he might glorify himself in our lives? But listen, if the Lord is glorifying himself in your life and mine, who's doing the work? The Lord. It has to be the Lord. Now, every time that you and I try to glorify the Lord, that's when we mess up. That's when we mess up. When we try, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do," and it never works out right. But when we see, in order to seek the Lord, it requires humility. This is ready? Here's the humility part. And faith as well. "Lord, I'm believing you that you will perform what you've promised in my life. I am looking to you to fulfill your will in my life, that I might be, that when people see me, they will see the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Isn't that who they should see? Yes. And so what should they, what, tell me something about the Lord Jesus Christ that would separate us, the old man, right, the fallen man, from the Lord Jesus Christ or from the new man? Isn't the difference the love of God? By the love that you have one for another? Isn't it patience? Isn't it the fruit of the Spirit, the kindness, the gentleness, the long-suffering? Isn't it all the things, all the good things of God? So here's the thing. When we don't see that in our lives, we know instantly he's not on the throne. He's not directing. Now, we're indwelt with the Lord. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But we want him to be in control, don't we? And more so in 2026 than ever before. Do you know it is never too late with the Lord? As long as we have breath, it is never too late. I am so glad that he used Abraham and Sarah. I am so glad that he blessed Zacharias and Elizabeth. Aren't you glad? So it's never too late that God, listen, for God to use those who are willingly looking forward and looking for him and seeking him in their lives. So it's not too late even today, even on the horizon of 2026. And we thank the Lord for that. Verse 11, not only is the Lord glorified in believers, but notice verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." That's for us. God wants us to be one with him. He wants us to be in sync. He wants us to be in step. He wants us to be in his spirit. And he wants us to... Listen, would you say that Daniel was one with the Lord? Would you say Joseph was one with the Lord? Would you say David, I'm talking about the good parts, right? David, would you say he was one with the Lord? Yes. And aren't you glad? We know that none of these people were perfect, and yet they had a heart for the Lord. And you and I can have even a greater heart, a larger heart for the Lord and His work and His will in our lives. And that is, listen, that is putting ourselves in the right position for the blessings of God. Lord, I want You in my life. Lord, I'm going to call upon You to fulfill Your will and that I might have Your peace and Your joy. That's what it's all about, that God might glorify Himself and that you and I will have peace that comes from the Lord that will cause us to be unmovable in the grace and mercy of God. Amen. See, listen, you and I do not need confirmation from mankind. We don't. We don't need the approval of the world. We need the approval of God. See, the world is, we need to be focused on that because the world is pulling on us and the world is at enmity with the Lord, and the world would have us to follow its way. But God says, if you'll follow me, I'll give you everything and more than you could ever imagine on this side of eternity. And the best is yet to come when we go on to the other side in eternity. And we will be found faithful by the grace and mercy of God. So notice verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Question, is the Lord the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then that means He's still holding His disciples in His hands, doesn't it? And He doesn't forsake us. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Did you see that? That you and I might have the joy of the Lord fulfilled in our lives. God wants us to have His joy. And how do we do that? Well, we have to stop leaning on our own understanding. And we have to be Lord, I need Your peace. I need Your love. I need Your mercy. I need Your compassion to make me different. And so by faith, we have a couple of things. We're hearing the Word of God. The question is, do we believe it for us? Not do we believe it for David. Not do we believe it for Joseph. Not do we believe it for Daniel. But do we believe that for us? Not do we believe it for Peter. And Peter struggled. But can we believe it for us, that God wants to do this in our lives? And then by faith, each and every day, we walk in that truth. Lord, You're going to fulfill this in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to fail. But then, listen, the more we seek the Lord, the more and the work of God, the more we're going to find it. If we don't seek the Lord, we'll go through the whole day and not realize every time that we failed the Lord until it's the end of the day. If even then, is it possible for a child of God to get so caught up and not, I'm not talking about sinning in the sense of the world calls sin, but I'm talking about there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no love, there's no kindness, there's no gentleness, there's not really a whole lot of fruit of the Spirit. We're sealed, I believe that, no doubt about it. But can the world see Jesus in us if we're caught up in ourselves? And if we're not looking for the Lord to be in us, we'll go through the whole day and miss or even come to this, because I've done it. I just can't do it. But we know that. We know we just can't do it, but who can? The Lord can do that, and the Lord wants to do that. So here it is, ready? When we fail the Lord, if we call upon Him in the morning to work His will in our lives, we will see that the moment we fail the Lord. And then we can repent, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was looking to myself. Lord, pick me up and use me now. And it has to just be a repetitive thing, but we will be more in tune and we will see our failures as soon as they're done. As soon as they're done, we will take note of that and then we'll call upon the Lord and the Lord will strengthen our faith because we're asking Him to. And before we know it, we'll get to a place where a situation or a circumstance arises and we'll realize that we had the peace of the Lord because we were abiding in Christ. We were calling upon the Lord every day, every morning, that we might abide in Him and Him in us. And because we're calling on him, we're going to go through a situation and God's peace is going to be there and his joy and his love is going to be there. And we'll go, wow, it does work. Who gets the praise? The Lord will get the praise. What do you think happened when Peter, you know who Peter was? The one that this, you know, he was just full of himself, wasn't he? Can we not associate with him? Everybody's full of themselves until the Lord fills us. And that was Peter's problem. But then the Lord filled him, and boy, oh boy, did he preach a message on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? And let me ask you this, when Peter and John went there and they told the man that was lame from his mother's womb to rise up and walk, and he went up leaping and praising the Lord into the temple. Do you remember what Peter said to them? Hey, men of Israel, why do you look on us as if by our own power we've done this? The Lord whom you crucified. Remember, he was the one that was hightailing it when the Lord was being crucified. What gave him the boldness? What made the difference in Peter's life is the same one who will make the difference in your life and mine. And that's our God. But all we need to do is believe him and pursue him to fulfill that. See, if it's just an idea, then it's just an idea. It's not real to us. We're not really doing it. We're not really even expecting that to happen. You know why? Because the flesh is pretty strong. It is pretty strong. It can keep us down. But be reminded of this. It is not stronger than the Spirit of God. So who are we going to look to? Are we going to look to ourselves? That'll get us nowhere fast. But are we going to believe in the Lord who can enable us to do things? And by the way, I don't understand this, but the Lord says, through your weakness is my strength seen, is where our strength comes from, in our weakness. When we don't have the strength, I think we're already there, aren't we? We don't have the strength. We just need to believe the Lord has it, and he'll give it. So look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. The Lord is doing the keeping. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. So we know the battle, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So let's not be surprised. The world is going to hate us, but question, was the Lord still meek even with the world? Yes, he was. Did he still give kindness and gentleness? And so you and I can do the same only by the grace of God. To those who are in the world, to those who are of the world, we can be gentle and kind and turn the other cheek as the Lord did. So, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's God's promise. God is going to keep us from the evil, that we would not be taken by it, that we would not be filled with it, that we would not be given to it, but that he would keep us from it. Amen. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you see how the Lord is looking at us? You and I are not of the world if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the truth? And God says, you belong to me. And I'm going to see to it. God is going to see to it if we'll put our faith and trust in him that he will fulfill his work. See, here's the thing about the Lord. He does not infiltrate our lives. But where is he at? Isn't he knocking at the door? And if we'll open up, he will come in. He will come in. So here's the question. Do we want to open up to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, do that in me. Show me how that works in my life. Verse 17. In fact, let's put 16 and 17 together. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Listen to this. Who does the sanctifying work? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Who is doing the sanctification? We cannot sanctify ourselves. All we can do is present ourselves and call upon the Lord to sanctify us. but we must give him the complete credit and the complete freedom to work his will in our lives. Lord, you're the only one that can change me. See, we don't want to sell the Lord out. If the Lord says, forgive those that have wronged you, he's asking us to do it. Now, why do I say that? Because naturally speaking, we hold grudges, don't we? We hold grudges for whatever. Even when we're wrong, we hold grudges when we're wrong. It's wrong to hold a grudge, isn't it? Yes. I'll confess, I've held grudges. But I'm so glad that I can give them to the Lord and say, I don't want to hold them anymore. You know why? Because they weigh us down. And they rob us of our joy. And God says, if you will just trust me, I will work in you my love. Amen. That will be genuine. Where we can genuinely say, you know what? I have no grudges. We can genuinely say, you know what? I don't have any enemies and I don't want to have any enemies. Now, that doesn't mean that the world is against us. But we don't look at them as against us. We look at them by the love of Christ as ones for whom Christ died for, that we might share the love and the compassion and the long-suffering of God, that they might say, you know what? They are different. Because the world knows the flesh better than probably anybody else. They know. And when they see the contrast, when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw the love of God. Now, obviously, some rejected it, but there were those that couldn't get past it, that they sought out the Lord. And that's who God wants us to be, the light to the world. You remember the Philippian jailer? You remember after Paul and Silas were rejected and they were beaten and they were thrown into prison? What happened when the Philippian jailer, when the earthquake came and they were singing hymns at midnight after they went through a rough day and suffered for the Lord? And the earthquake took place, and the prison doors were opened, and the Philippian jailer, he thought they were all gone, and he was going to do himself in. And in the dark, because God was working through Paul, he told the Philippian jailer, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And I guess when the lights were brought in, he was there and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And that was because of the work of God in Paul and Silas's. It's not, listen. Paul would be the first one to tell you, it was not me, it was God in me that brought that to pass. It won't ever be us, it will be God in us that will glorify the Lord. He still wants to do that. So the last part here, and this is the commission and sanctification that Jesus gave to his disciples back then. So it's for us today. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And that's us today. Did he not commission the church to go into all the world? Yes, he did. And he's sending us also into our world, in the world in which we live. And so. In our world, in our Columbia, Missouri, God wants his light in our lives to go out. Verse 19, and for their sakes, listen to this, I sanctify myself. The Lord, now the Lord can sanctify himself. In other words, he's setting himself apart. I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen. And he is the truth, is he not? So the Lord wants this to take place in your life and mine. And again, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one, all believers may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Did you see that? He wants us to be such a testimony of the grace and mercy of God that the world will turn to him because of our witness. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And all we need to do is just say, yes, Lord, do that work in me. We can't do it. We, you know, listen, Can you and I save anybody or convict anybody of their need of salvation? You cannot debate or argue anybody into heaven if God's not at work. You can talk till you're blue in the face. And I dare say, if you've been saved for any length of time, I'm sure you have talked till you were blue in the face to somebody to tell them about Jesus, and it didn't work. Because it has to be the Lord. We're indwelt by the Lord, but the Lord, the Spirit of God needs to be released, and that can only be done through humility and faith that God will do that. We can't debate anybody, but we can yield to the Lord so that He can do it all. And when He does it all, who gets all the glory? Who do we praise for doing it? We know we can't do it. Let's just surrender to the Lord and say, God, I want you to do it in my life. And it changes our whole disposition. Was the Lord truly the epitome of love? And do you know that the Lord wants to be love in our life? Real love, genuine love, that loves unconditionally, that's merciful, that's gracious. We don't have that, but He does. And He's got plenty to give. And His storehouses never run dry. And never run out. They are abundantly overflowing. So watch this again. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them. Notice how much he's repeating this. He wants us to understand this. I in them, that's us, and thou in me, that's the Father, that they may be made perfect or mature in one, complete. The way God wants us to be completed. Was Paul made complete in the Lord? Yes. And we know this for sure. Paul will tell you it wasn't himself. It wasn't because of who Paul was. It was because of who God was in Paul's life. Was Peter made complete? Yes, he was. But it wasn't because of Peter. It was because of who God was in Peter's life. See, if you and I are going to be made complete, it will be because of who God is in our lives, not because of ourselves. That's the way it works. That's what God is telling us here. So, verse 23 again, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know, listen to the testimony, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That the world may know this. That they might see the love of God in us. Father, verse 24, I will, this is God's will, the Son's will, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, that's just not the apostles. He's talking about those that would believe on the Lord after them, and that's us. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. God wants us to behold His glory. And that's something that the Lord brings into our hearts and into our minds when we see the glory of the Lord. Listen, when you and I know that would have, how would you say, just gotten underneath our skin, and God gives us peace, who gets the glory? Whose glory was that? We see the glory of the Lord. When we know that we would have, listen, each and everybody in here, every human being on earth, and tell me if I'm wrong in this, you can tell me, has defended themselves and has gotten mad at somebody because they were offended by someone else. And we know that, listen, when we do that, only by the grace of God, we know that that's not the right thing to do, but we have all failed before, and even before salvation, and by golly, you know, have you ever been right, so right, before salvation even, so right that you didn't need any facts? In fact, the truth is you didn't want any facts. You just wanted to be right in your own mind. I've done that. I don't need to know any different. This is the way I see it. And I could be dead wrong. I don't want to see it any other way. Because to see it any other way, I would have to admit that I was a... It's hard for us to say that, isn't it? Hard to say that we're wrong. And I say that because I believe the Lord wants to do a work through the believers of Northwood Baptist Church. I'm sure He wants to do a work in all of His churches. I'm sure of that. But I really believe he wants to work and shine his light through your life and mine. More in 2026 than ever before. I am convinced he's not finished with us. Here's the question. Are we finished with him? I don't think so. I hope not. But that's only the question you can answer. Am I finished? Is this as far as I'm going with the Lord? I don't think so. I don't believe that. I believe you want to go even further with the Lord. Why? Because you love him. And why do you love him? The same reason I love him, because he first loved us unconditionally. Isn't that good? And so the place God is trying to bring us to as believers is to trust him completely. Amen. Stop looking to anywhere else and look to him to fulfill his will and work in our lives. Last couple of verses here. In fact, let's tie it in with verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And by the way, the Lord loves you and I don't understand it. And I would say before the foundation of the world, wouldn't you? Yes. Because that's where he planned his son to come. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. We know, do you not know, right? You know that the God the Father sent the Son. And I have declared unto them thy name, and he has declared it through his word to you and I, and will declare it that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be where? That's us, isn't it? Isn't that us? Listen to that again. He says this, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the Son, be in them, and I in them. Isn't that good? So tonight, listen, that is the Lord's prayer. Yes, for the apostles, for the disciples, but for the disciples of this day and age too. You know why? Because God never changes. God's love for you and I has never changed, and it has stayed the same, and will stay the same. And so if we have drifted off course, where is the Father? He's looking for us, isn't he? That we might be drawn to him and come back to him wholeheartedly, even more fervently in the love of God, by the grace of God, that we might glorify him, not in our power, but by the mercy and grace of God. Do you know that is the message that will win our lives and will win the world? The love of God, isn't it? So tonight, God gives us an opportunity to seek him for his glory, if we'll have it. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reminder of your love, your mercy, and your grace to us. Lord, you love us and your love has never changed. And Lord, we thank you for that. Tonight, may you open up our hearts and minds to understand you in a better way. And Lord, may you place it in our hearts and may we call upon you to put it in our hearts to seek you like never before. May we draw nearer to you, not to our thinking, but to you, Lord, and to experience your great love and mercy to us that will so fill our lives that it will spill over into the lives of others, Lord, that need to know you as Savior. Bless and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.